Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading for this morning, our Lord is presented with a man who has an obvious physical problem. He is paralyzed. He needs healing from this ailment, and so the man's friends go to great trouble to bring him to Jesus. But what is it that our Lord first says to the paralytic? He says in verse 2 of our text, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Now, this is a surprising statement, to say the least. The scribes are surprised by the statement because they are concerned about whether or not our Lord has the authority to forgive sins. However, I would like to focus our time this morning on the other surprising aspect of this statement. That is, why does Jesus offer this man forgiveness when it seems so obvious to us that his true need is physical? To ask the question differently, why does Jesus seem at first to ignore this man's obvious physical problem in favor of offering him forgiveness? Well, the answer to this question is really fairly straightforward. See, our Lord isn't ignoring the man's physical problem. In fact, he is treating the root cause of his physical ailment. Now, this reveals the major point that we should not miss in this text. See, sin is the underlying cause of all the brokenness in this world. With that in mind, we will consider the following two points. First, we will consider how is sin the underlying cause of all the brokenness in this world. And then secondly, we will consider how this knowledge leads us to our true hope. So first, we consider the manner in which sin is the underlying cause of all the brokenness in this world. Now, most of us learned in catechism class that sin manifests itself in two ways in our world. Said a little differently, there are two kinds of sin. There is original sin, and there is actual sin. And both of these kinds of sin cause different types of problems in our lives and in our world. Actual sin, as the name implies, are the actual sins that we commit, the sinful acts of things that we have done or left undone, which is contrary to the eternal will of God. As we know, these sinful acts can manifest themselves in thought, word, or deed. And as we know, the way that this plays out in our lives is fairly straightforward. When I sin in thought, word, or deed, the consequence is a brokenness which manifests itself in some way. So let me give you a couple of examples. If I sin in thought by becoming angry with someone but refusing to speak to them about it, instead harboring that feeling inside my own thoughts, the brokenness that results is a fractured relationship. If, on the other hand, I sin in word by, say, telling a lie, trust is broken. If I sin in deed by maybe failing to help my brother move some heavy object, the result might be a physical hurt that comes from him trying to lift too much by himself. See, the point is, sinful acts always result in brokenness. However, actual sin is not the only cause of brokenness in this world. In fact, it could be argued that the true, deepest rooted cause of brokenness in our world is not actual sin at all, but in fact is original sin. See, the scriptures teach us that the deep underlying sickness of humanity is our sinful nature, that original sin which has been inherited from Adam. Consider our Lord's words from John chapter 8, verse 34, when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Our Lord's logic here is fairly straightforward. My sinful nature is the reason why I commit acts of sin. Original sin brings forth actual sin. I sin because I am a sinner at heart, not the other way around. And so while it is good and right that we struggle against the impulses that we have to commit these acts of sin, our true fight is against our sinful nature. So long as the effects of original sin remain, so long as the corrupted sinful nature remains within me, I will struggle against the effects of sin. Often this is the hard part to admit, because it requires admitting that I'm helpless. As long as I live, I will continue to struggle against the effects of original sin because I am helpless against it. I can't do anything to rid myself of the corrupted nature within me. I could try to curb it, but I can't get rid of it on my own. See, original sin is the underlying cause of all the brokenness in this world, and I am helpless against it. This is a stark yet important reality to admit. Our condition is, as St. Paul expresses so well in Romans chapter 7, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because I certainly can't on my own." Now this leads us to our second and final point of consideration, how knowledge of sin as the underlying cause of our brokenness leads to our true hope. See, St. Paul's answer to this question raised in Romans 7 is the same answer that we see our Lord provide to the paralytic in our gospel reading for today. See, it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord, alone that we can find healing for our deep-rooted brokenness. Once again, as we read in our gospel text in verse 2, "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" These may not have been the words that the paralytic wanted to hear, but these are the words that he needed to hear. No doubt he wanted to hear the words, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And to be fair, he would hear those words and receive the physical healing that he desired. But it was these words of forgiveness that our Lord spoke to him, which were of greatest significance. See, the man's true problem was not at all his paralysis. His true problem was the effects of sin weighing on him, which were manifesting, among other ways, in this paralysis. See, paralysis was the symptom. Sin was the cause. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to suggest that he or someone else committed an act of sin which brought this paralysis on himself. The story of the man born blind in John chapter 9 comes to mind regarding this question. No, the paralytic, rather, was helpless against the effects of original sin. And so he needed the forgiveness that only our Lord Jesus could provide him. Had Jesus simply healed his paralysis and then walked away, the man would have experienced relief from these symptoms in this life. But he would not have received true and eternal healing. This is why knowledge of sin as the underlying cause of all the brokenness in this world leads to our true hope. Without recognition of the corruption caused by sin, there is no hope of the true healing which our Lord Jesus only can provide. Now, there are any number of examples of this at play in our world today. When a person is suffering from the effects of sin, a treatment of the symptoms will never offer true hope and healing. I once heard a pastor tell a story to illustrate this. There was a homeless person who came into his office, and the homeless person asked him for money so that he could feed himself. The pastor responded by saying, "I don't have any money to give you, but I can give you forgiveness." The pastor proceeded to share about Jesus, but was quickly interrupted by the homeless person who replied, "Forgiveness doesn't do me any good if I starve." The pastor replied, "No, you're wrong. When you die, that's precisely when you will need forgiveness." Now, think what you will about whether the pastor should have given the homeless person money. That's not the point. The point is that we are so often obsessed with the things that don't truly matter that we can't see the things that do matter. We care about the symptom rather than the cause. We want relief from the struggles of this life when Jesus offers us eternal healing. We want relief from our struggle, say, with anxiety, but Jesus offers us a future hope of eternal healing. We want a few more years with our terminally ill loved one, but Jesus offers us the hope of an eternal life with them. We want a life of comfort and convenience, but Jesus offers us the future hope of pleasures forevermore in his presence. See, we want the wrong things because we don't see what Jesus sees. We see a life filled with heartache and struggles, but Jesus sees underneath all of that, and he sees a world corrupted by sin. When we begin to recognize that sin is the underlying cause of all the brokenness in this world, then we begin to see why Jesus is the only source of true hope. And so, my friends, our Lord says to each one of us this day, "Take heart, my son, my daughter. Your sins are forgiven. Your struggle against the corruption of sin in this world, in your life, it will come to an end. I will heal you. I will restore all things. I will grant you life everlasting in my presence, where you will be freed from the struggles of this life. Endure for yet a little while with this as your hope, and I will heal you." May God grant us wisdom to see our struggles as Jesus does, patience to endure them, and hope to trust in Christ's promises. In the name of Jesus, amen.